From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, this is Gene Triplett, entertainment editor for The Oklahoman and NewsOK.com. I'm here with entertainment writers George Lang and Brandy McDonald, and it's time once again to talk Oscars. So this is the time of the year when we all stick our necks out and make brave predictions about who the winners are going to be. Why don't we start off with Brandy? Best Picture.
Best Picture. Well, they have 10 nominees this year, which is twice as many as before, but it really probably only comes down to two. Avatar, or The Hurt Locker, possibly Inglourious Basterds gets to be a spoiler, but I'm going to say that they're going to go with The Hurt Locker, and that mostly comes down to I thought Avatar was more spectacle than good story, so sorry. Right. Yeah, sorry, James Cameron. You're not the king of my world.
Yeah, that list of 10, that's like lovely consolation prize. Thank you for playing, you know.
I want to spread the love out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I would have guessed just a few months ago that Up in the Air was going to be a lock for this thing, and then this, you know, 2 hour 45 minute 3D movie with blue people showed up and made a bunch of money, and the producers of the Oscar telecast they love that kind of thing. They love it if you know the movie that a bunch of people went to is in contention, and they love it even more if it wins. There's a strain of the Academy that likes to back a winner, and especially backing something that brought in scads of money. So I'm gonna say that Up in the Air should have won, but Avatar I think is gonna pull it out.
Yeah, well, like you, early on I thought Up in the Air would be a shoe-in, and it's still my favorite among all the contenders. But then, like you said, James Cameron's Avatar weighed in at the box office and at the Golden Globes. But Cameron's ex-wife, Catherine Bigelow, bowled critics over with her indie war film, The Hurt Locker, which beat out Avatar for Best Picture at the British Academy of Film and Television Arts Awards.
And, BAFTA.
Yeah, BAFTA.
BAFTA.
Took home five other awards as well. You know, I think a lot of voters will be rooting for the little indie that could. An interesting side note here is that Cameron actually recommended the script to Bigelow for The Hurt Locker. So, anyway, I'm going with The Hurt Locker.
And good choice.
Going with The Hurt.
Okay, let's dive into Best Director. Brandy, go ahead.
I think it's kind of the same story, isn't it, though? I mean, it really does come down to...
I should have called on you. I'm sorry.
Yes, you should have called my name. I wasn't holding my hand up. It really does come down to the same story, though, as the Best Picture tale, is that it's really, there's five wonderful nominees, but I really think it does come down to James Cameron and Avatar versus Catherine Bigelow and The Hurt Locker. And I really do think that in this case, I feel a little more sure about this one even than the Best Picture, that they're ready to give the first Best Director Oscar to a woman. Mm-hmm. I think they're just ready. I think the time has come. We saw that at the Directors Guild of America. Catherine Bigelow became the first woman to win that directing prize. She became the first woman to win the directing prize at the BAFTAs. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they're ready to give it to her. And I think that with James Cameron, his reward gets to be the first, making the first movie that crossed the 700 million bajillion domestic box office thing.
Right.
George?
Right. Well, you know, and it'd be nice. It'd be nice if Bigelow won. I hope that she does. I think she deserves it. But on the other hand, I think that, you know, this is kind of, you know, Avatar, in terms of the way it's being regarded, it's kind of like the... it's kind of like the jazz singer in 1927. You know, it's the thing that a lot of work went into changing it, and it's going to change the way a lot of films are going to be made from here on out. And you know, and so I have a feeling that he maybe even more so than his chances of pulling in a Best Picture, I think a Best Director might be going to Cameron. So I'm going to go with Cameron.
Okay, I'm going to go with Bigelow. I think she's paid her dues in the industry. I think she's accomplished her career best with The Hurt Locker, which is a nerve-shattering knockout. She's already the first woman to win the BAFTA award, like Brandy said. and one or two other honors. And I don't know. I think a lot of people want to see her become the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Director.
And she'd be a great choice. I mean, she's not one of these filmmakers that's limited to sort of the chick flick women's film kind of thing. She's made a lot of movies that are typically in the more of the boys' film area.
And yeah. I would argue that she's done it better. You know,
often, yeah, yeah. Very often.
You know,
absolutely,
many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Best Actor, Brandy. What do you say there?
Oh well, I would sing you a country song. I would sing you a country song, but I'll leave that to Jeff Bridges, the dude, who now we can add Bad Blake to his list of memorable roles. And I mean, the guy's been nominated. This is his fifth nomination, and he's just. He's just outstanding in the movie. He's so believable as this washed-up country singer, and I think there's no way they're not going to send him home empty-handed for the fifth time. I do feel sorry for George Clooney, because this is the second time in 2 years that he puts in this really great performance in a remarkable film and then gets upstaged at the last minute by somebody who's an acclaimed actor who's putting in the role, you know, performance of a lifetime. So, poor George Clooney. I think Bad Blake's going to go off singing.
That's right. That's
George.
Right. Yeah. You know, and both Clooney and Bridges had these roles written for them. I mean, that you know, it was you know Ryan Bingham that you know that was that originated in a novel, and so did Bad Blake. But these screenwriters and directors, they tailored these roles to those guys. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about the way Jeff Bridges lives in this character. It is so strong. It is so believable. It seems like the kind of thing that he's been working toward his entire life. Great roles for the last four decades, but this is the one that puts him over. He's going to win it.
Absolutely. I'll make it unanimous. You know, some people might have thought that George Clooney was simply playing himself as the high-flying, anti-commitment bachelor, but it was actually one of the most moving characterizations he's ever pulled off. I would have voted for him if not for Jeff Bridges.
Very nuanced.
You know, the dude's getting his fifth nomination here. He was great in this as this booze-soaked has-been country singer. He just transformed himself into this character. He said himself that it was a part he was born to play, and he was right. He just nailed it. And after four no wins in the past four decades, I think it has come time to recognize his dudeness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Okay. And Best Actress, Brandy.
Well, this one I think is the outcome is, I feel like, fairly certain, but it's one of the more competitive categories out there. But you've got some really great performances here. My opinion, probably the best one, wasn't seen by enough people to really make a dent, which was Helen Mirren in The Last Station, which tells the tale of the last tumultuous year in the life of Leo Tolstoy, and she plays his wife. She's like a force of nature in that. There's some really great performances here. Meryl Streep obviously managed to play Julia Child, make it a lot of fun, make it very believable, make it not a caricature, but talking about game-changing performances here, and nobody changed their game and scored bigger than Sandra Bullock and her inspirational football drama, fact-based football drama. Mm-hmm. And her performance was great. I mean, I really enjoyed her in the film, but I really think it comes down to she's just completely changed her career at a pretty late stage in her career for a woman actress. I mean, you know, for an actress, she's really changed how everybody perceives her.
Well, yeah, she's 45 years old, and that's a long time into a career in Hollywood to have suddenly transformed yourself, and that's what this will do.
From rom-com queen to serious actress.
That's right.
You know,
that's
in one
right.
role.
You know, now who I would have picked was Carey Mulligan for an Education. This was a role that I completely believed. Every time, you know, she's playing this, you know, 15-year-old, 16-year-old girl who's got, you know, part of her life is, you know, as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old girl. The other part is she's a full-fledged adult. You know, she's just on that cusp of adulthood and kind of going back and forth with her in the way she's reacting to things. And I believed it every single bit of it. She was you saw it on her face. It was just a great performance, but you know, we don't have
not enough people have seen it,
and you know, and people look at her performance, Gabourey Sidibe's you know, and they say, you've got a long career ahead of you, you know. And I think that it's they're gonna give it to Bullock. I think that, you know, Streep might win it just because she was so utterly believable, but I think it goes to Bullock.
Yeah, I have to agree there too. Although, you know, a few actresses have the distinction of winning a Razzie and being nominated for an Oscar in the same year.
And richly deserving.
Yeah,
that actually would be the first.
Well,
I think
actually,
would be her.
She actually's kind of proud of the Razzie, but no, I think. You know, Sandra Bullock, you know, even though she got razzed so badly about All About Steve, she did get praised to the heavens for this great football mom character that she pulls off in The Blind Side. My favorite is Meryl Streep, too, for her amazing transformation into Julia Child in Julie and Julia. But Bullock's well-liked within the industry, and I think a majority of voters may decide that her time has come, too.
Yeah, she plays well with others.
Yeah.
She really does.
She does.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actor, Brandy.
Oh, why are we even talking about this?
It's going to be boring.
Just give it to Christoph Waltz already. no, and again, poor, I mean, talk about somebody who's losing out here. Christopher Plummer has been acting for 56 years. This is his first Oscar nomination for Last Station. He was Leo Tolstoy. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing, and he doesn't have a chance. I mean, there's no prayer here.
It's practically a physical improbability.
It's going to Christoph Waltz
as
the nasty but utterly polite Nazi in Inglourious Basterds. What is it, George?
That's a bingo!
That's a bingo!
Well, George, what do you say?
There's just no question about it. I mean,
he's won everything.
You know, everybody else, you know, in this category, like you're saying, they just totally deserve it. In any other year, Christoph Waltz just blew this out of the water. This would have, you know, there isn't that much air separating his screen time and Brad Pitt's screen time in this film and
all.
In Glorious Bastards. But he's, you know, but this is the one where he can absolutely sweep it. And he will. He will, he will, he will.
Okay.
Known it since August.
Yep. One more unanimous category here. I go with Christoph Waltz as well. I think he was one of the most effectively contemptible and wickedly funny villains I've ever seen, or seen since maybe Heath Ledger's Joker. You know, Waltz just pulled it off in four different languages. I think Stanley Tucci's chilling portrait of a child-molesting serial killer is pretty memorable, too. In The Lovely Bones, and runs a fairly close second for supporting actor this year, but I think Waltz has it nailed.
Yes.
And best supporting actress, I'll bet we're going to be unanimous on this one, too.
It's
Brandy?
Kind of the same
again,
thing.
Why are we even talking about it? I mean, at this point, she's won everything. She's going to continue, and she deserves everything.
Mm-hmm.
Monique in Precious is just brutally abusive. I mean, it made my stomach hurt watching this person on screen. To just watch her just makes you almost nauseous. And it's incredible. And again, we're talking about another career-altering performance. Monique has been around for a long time as a comedian, and she's played in a lot of these movies that are George's favorite, like Fat Girls and things like that. George has three DVD copies of it, I believe.
I've got it in the changer all the time.
And you're talking about somebody who, in one performance, manages to take her career and completely remake it. And I think that the Academy Electric is not able to resist something like that, and who can blame him? It's a terrific performance.
No, and you know, I was a huge fan of both Vera Farmiga and Anna Kendrick and Up in the Air. I would have loved to have seen either of them win, but you know, I keep going back to Monique's, you know, final meltdown in the social services office, and you can't not touch that. It's just amazing. She deserves it.
Absolutely.
She'll get it, too.
Yeah, I think she has it running away. She's just, it was a soul-scorching performance. I just think she's like human heat lightning in that role. And like you, George, I loved Vera Farmiga and Anna Kendrick in Up in the Air, which is still my favorite. But Monique, in this case, will be taking home the statuette.
And it's burned into my brain now, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't shake that loose.
All right. Well, those are our predictions. Everybody tune into the Oscars on Sunday night and see how right or wrong we are. For Brandy McDonald and George Lang, this is Gene Triplett. Thanks for listening.